Thank you and good morning to all. We certainly are thankful that you're in our audience today. It's a joy to be able to come together to worship and serve the Lord. I'm so grateful for this privilege today to speak to you, and we are so grateful for our elders, Tommy and Jeff, and all that are concerned about the souls of others. And surely, Brother Mike Richardson is our regular preacher, and he does an excellent job in presenting lessons from God's Word. Keep praying for all of us here at O'Neill, and let's continue to work and serve the Lord together. Today I want to consider with you a lesson entitled, Engraven in the Palms of God's Hands. Over in the book of Isaiah, chapter 49, verses 15 through 16, Isaiah speaks in God and truth for God, and he says, "Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yet they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me." The book of Isaiah is called the Book of Salvation. And in the second part of the book, we find that there are messages of forgiveness, consolation, and hope in God. And the prophet reveals his plans. And notice how that God then tells the prophet how that he now has engraven the children of Israel in the palms of his hands. Isn't that a beautiful expression? I think this means how much Israel meant to God. Can you imagine how wonderful it is to know if you're one of God's people, that your name is written in the palms of the hands of God? Notice in Philippians 4 and verse 13, Paul said, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." That's why we can do it. We're doing it through Christ. In Romans 8 and verse 28, Paul writes to the Roman brethren, and he says that we know that all things work together for good to those who are the called according to the purpose of God. God cares for his children. He did then and he does today. And certainly, he is in complete control to be able to bring about all of his promises made to his children. In the book of Psalm chapter 46, verses 3 through 4, here we find that the psalmist writes, "Hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, which are born by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb, and even to your old age, I am he, and even to hoar gray hairs will I carry you. I have made, and I will bear, even I will carry, and I will deliver you." God said, "I'll take care of you." Now in the New Testament, we read in 1 Peter 5 and verse 7, the Bible says, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." Truly, God cares for each one of us who belong to him. Listen to so many scriptures found in the Bible. As you search the Bible, you find comfort in the scriptures, God's precious truth. "Cast thy burden upon the Lord," Psalms 55, verse 22, "and he shall sustain thee, and he shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." Moses, as he spoke to Israel, notice in Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 8, he said, "In the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed." And then when we go to the last book in the Bible, to the book of Revelation, in Revelation 21 and verse 4, there's a promise that God makes to all of those who are his children. "God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." God's going to take care of us. Surely, in the palms of his hands, as our names are written there, we can be assured of the great love and care that God has for us. The book of James, in James chapter 4 and in verse 8, the Bible says there, "Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Over and over, therefore, the scriptures fill our hearts with the assurance that God cares for us. Friends, what's more important to any of us than to know that God cares for me and that he has engraved us on the palms of his hands? In Nahum chapter 1 and verse 7, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. And then Matthew records in Matthew chapter 10, 28 through 31, Jesus speaking. And notice what the Lord said. Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And then the question is asked, Jesus, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. Jesus said this. Friend, I believe it, don't you? In Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 16, thy words were found, and I did eat them, Jeremiah said. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Jeremiah, what are you saying? I am called. How are you called? I'm called by the name of God. We Christians today wear a great name. We're called Christians, children of God. In Acts 11, verse 26, there we find that the Bible says the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. When we turn to the pages of God's Word in Acts 26 and verse 28, you remember how Agrippa told Paul, he said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Paul was trying to reason with this man, trying to get him to see how important it is for him to be a child of God. And then Peter in 1 Peter 4 and verse 16, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. When we turn back to the book of Psalms chapter 95 and verse 7, for he is our God. What now? The psalmist says God is who? He is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hands. In Psalms chapter 8 and verse 9, yes, the Bible speaks of and the writer exclaims, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Truly, God cares for us. He loves us. And that means that God is in complete control. How can he promise us things, and yet if he's not in control, bring those things to fruition? Well, I suggest you would consider Genesis chapter 8. There you remember how that Noah found grace in the eyes of God. Noah built an ark. He built it exactly as God told him to. When the floods came, where was he? He was in the ark. Who was with him, with his family? How many people were saved? 8 people were saved. Then after the flood now subsides, and it's time to come forth out of that ark. Go forth of the ark, God said. Noah, thou and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee, bring forth with thee every living thing that is with thee, of all flesh, both of fowl and of cattle, and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, that they may breed abundantly in the earth, and be fruitful and multiply upon the earth. Now look in verse 18. And Noah went forth, his sons, his wife, and his sons' wives with him, every beast and every creeping thing and every fowl and whatsoever creepeth upon the earth after their kinds went forth out of the ark. And Noah built an altar unto the Lord. What did he do? The moment was the first thing he did. After he goes forth out of the ark, the Bible says that he builds an altar. He took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. What did God do? The Bible tells us, and the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite anymore every living thing as I have done. And look what a promise God has made. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest and cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. Look at that promise. While the earth remaineth, what does God say? Seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. How can God be so sure? Here's your answer. Because God is in complete control. He's never surprised. We're surprised sometimes at ourselves. Sometimes we're surprised at others, but not with God. God is never surprised at anything. Why? Because Malachi 3 and verse 6 states, God said, I am the Lord and I do not change. That is why you descendants of Jacob are already destroyed. And then in the book of Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13, nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. Secondly, you know, God is never unprepared. He takes care of any situation that might arise. In Psalms chapter 46, verses 1 through 3, this psalmist could say, God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Isn't that beautiful? Though the earth give away and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and their mountains quake with surging, we say and we stand with the fact that God is our refuge and God is our strength. Even with regards to temptations that we have, the promise from God is this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear, but when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. Moreover, God is never overcome. We are sometimes. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 12, verse 21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Jesus said in Luke 4 and verse 8, he answered and said to him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it's written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. What does that mean to the Christian today? It means, my friends, we should control ourselves, behave ourselves as God would have us to. In 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15, Paul writes, he says, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. Yes, we Christians need to control ourselves. First, we need to control our tongues. In the book of Proverbs chapter 10:19, when there are many words, transgression is unavoidable, but he who restrains his lips is wise. Proverbs 18 verse 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Remember what Solomon said? In Proverbs chapter 15 verse 1, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. In Ephesians 4 and verse 29, let no corrupt communications proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Yes, my friends, we need to control our tongues. Secondly, we need to control our lust. Paul was writing to Timothy, a young man. In 2 Timothy 2 and verse 22, he says, flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Paul told the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 18. He says, flee fornication. Yes, you remember there's a man named Joseph who did exactly as God wants us to do. There was one that was tempting him. In Genesis chapter 39 and verse 12, she even caught him by his garment, saying to him, lie with me. What did he do? He left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. That's how you flee, you control lust. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 28, Jesus said, "But I say to you that whosoever looks on a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her already in his heart." That's why he told us, my friends, how important it is that we control our lust. Third, we need to control our attitudes. What is your attitude? What's mine? Writing from a prison cell, we find the Apostle Paul telling us what the attitude we should have in making sure we're able to overcome in the very end. You remember Paul was in prison, and the Bible tells us that he writes in Philippians 1 and verse 27, to a group of people who had loved him so much, who had sent support to him, encouraged him, and notice what he says to them, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Have the right attitude. Jesus maintained the attitude. It matters not what unexpected disruptions we may have, frustrations or difficulties that we go through. How should we overcome? How can we, just by remembering, we are in the palms of God's hands. Our attitude should be like his son's, Jesus Christ. Finally, brethren, Paul said in Philippians 4 and verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, what do? Think on these things. As children love to imitate what they see, and a lot of times repeat what they hear, we also are charged to imitate the model found in the example of Jesus Christ and to be a clear reflection of our Lord. Now, we are graven, the Bible says. God's people. He's taking care of God's people. If you're one of his, four things, and the lesson will be yours. Number one, quit worry. What do we say? God is in complete control. God's made a promise. He's promised you. He's promised me. He's promised his children. He'll not forsake you. He loves you. He cares for you. Listen to the words of Jesus. Matthew 6:34, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough troubles of his own. Quit worrying, number two. Trust him. Have confidence in him. Believe him. In Hebrews 13:5-6, let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee. What? I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Whom shall I fear? Just remember, as the book of Proverbs says in Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all of thine heart. And lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Three, don't try to change God's will. The psalmist makes it clear in Psalms 119 and verse 89. Forever, what? Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Fourth and finally, don't be weary in well-doing. In Galatians 6 and verse 9, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. God loves you. He loves me. He loves us all. He's engraving us as his children on the palms of his hands. Are you in the body of Christ? Are you a Christian? If not, won't you obey the gospel today? If you need to be restored, call us and let us help you and pray with you. And may God help us to always remember how much He cares for us. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank You for the wonderful assurance we have in Your Word, that You love us and You care for us. Help us to do all we can to show You, Father, and demonstrate in our lives how much we love You and care for You. We thank You for all those of our young people and everyone who's really seeking to do Your will. Please forgive our sins and finally save us in heaven when we die. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.